national debate over the extent of surveillance. What I think he contributed was, you know, in our stories and other people's stories early on about the NSA, we revealed the framework, the framework for what the Bush administration had done, that they had turned the NSA on the American people. What I think Snowden revealed, the basic thing that I think he revealed, is that under Obama and in the years since we had first written about it, the American people had become much more online, an online citizenry. We were now completely digital, with Facebook and Twitter and all of these things. And as a result, the NSA had grown dramatically in their ability to watch the online presence of Americans, much more than they had just a few years earlier in the Bush administration. And so what I think he revealed was the dramatic expansion in just a few short years of the NSA's ability to shadow the online presence of Americans. And that was a real contribution.
You have a son who's a reporter?
Yes. Yeah, my oldest son, Tom, is a reporter at U.S. News and World Report now.
And so what is the legacy you want to pass on to him?
Well, I want to have a free press. I want it to be where he can still develop sources and do aggressive reporting in the same way I did throughout my career. I don't want young reporters to face a situation or climate where they're much more constrained in what they can write about than I had in my career.
And you're willing to go to jail for this?
Yes. I think that's the one thing I can leave to my son.
Well, I want to thank you for being with us. The Times might have just come out with an editorial calling Edward Snowden a whistleblower. James Risen is investigative journalist with The New York Times, Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter. His new book is out today. It's called Pay Any Price, Greed, Power, and Endless War. If you'd like a copy of today's show, you can go to our website at democracynow.org. A belated happy birthday to Miguel Noguera. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Renee Feltz, Aaron Mate, Norman Shakes, Steve Martinez, Sam Malkoff, Hani Massoud, Robbie Karen, Dina Guzder, Amy Littlefield. Special thanks to Julie Crosby, Becca Staley, and to Hugh Grant as well. Our website, democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
This is Donna with your WUSB concert billboard for Sunday, October 12th. Mark Arelli with Charlie Rose will be at the University Cafe right here, Stony Brook University, beginning at 2. The Carrie Carney Band will be at the Deep Wells Mansion, St. James, 3 p.m. The Last Hombres will be at the Heckscher Park in Huntington Village, 4 p.m. Cuddle Magic will be at Pioneer Works in Brooklyn, 5 p.m. A tribute to Peter Winkler will be at the Stoller Center for the Arts, Stony Brook University, beginning at 7. Herb Albert and Lanny Hall will be at the Patchogue Theater for the Performing Arts in Patchogue, beginning at 7. On your concert billboard for Monday, October 13th. Atmat Ali Duo will be at the Lobster Roll, Northside, Bating Hollow, beginning at 3. Ramona Lisa will be at Le Poisson Rouge, Manhattan, 7 p.m. John Hyatt Solo with Luther Dickerson will be at City Winery, 8 p.m. Captain Black Big Band will be at Smoke, Jazz and Supper Club, Manhattan, 9 p.m. Dice will be at the 55 Bar, Manhattan, beginning at 10. On your concert billboard for Tuesday, October 14th, Mike LaDon's Groover Quartet will be at Smoke, Manhattan, 7 p.m. The Big Bright will be at the Rockwood Music Hall, Manhattan, Stage 3, 7 p.m. John Hyatt will be at City Winery, Manhattan, at 8. Looking ahead to Wednesday, October 15th, Half Step will be at the Brooklyn Bowl at 8.
Have your hip-hop ahead of the curve. Enter the Battle Zone, DJ Digital and DJ Tiger, Battle Zone Radio, Wednesday morning, midnight to 3 a.m. on WUSB Stony Brook.
You're listening to WUSB Stony Brook, 90.1 FM. The time is exactly 6:02 p.m. on a Tuesday night. That means it's time for Off the Wall. Stay tuned. Stay tuned. Good evening.
Good evening. It's another Tuesday night, and
yep.
Here we are again for another edition of Off the Wall. Emmanuel over here.
And it's Kyle over here.
I couldn't give you a better cue than that. Yes, you have to give your name after I give my name.
I've got a lot going on over here.
The rules of the radio, yeah.
Oh, yeah, the rules.
All right.
Tell me more rules.
On that subject, you sound muffled.
Huh?
You sound muffled.
Wait, I'm just taking precautions.
Well, I'm not trying to, like, you know, it's not a competition. I'm not saying my voice is clear and your voice is muffled, but your voice is muffled, and I think I see the reason. What's with the mask? What's going on here?
It's a N95.
What does that mean?
That's the filtration on my mask.
Oh, for God's sake, this isn't about the Ebola thing, is it? Okay, now I understand. Folks, we don't talk much apart from the show, but I have noticed throughout the day that you've been walking around wearing one of those, you know, masks like they wear in Japan, and now I'm beginning to put it together that it's because of this whole Ebola thing that you're now going to wear a mask all the time. First of all, you sound like Darth Vader for one thing, but it's like looking at some kind of a monster that doesn't have a mouth or a nose for that matter.
Right.
You don't need that. It doesn't. You're not going to get Ebola from anything around here.
You know, it is kind of hot and sweaty. I don't know if I can do a whole show like this, but I want to be protected.
But you sound like crap, all right? And I think that's more important than being protected against one of the worst outbreaks in mankind's history.
Right, the door's closed, though, right? I mean, nobody's going to get... I don't want contaminated...
No one's going to want to come in here, believe me.
All right. Let me just take this
off. Take the thing off, please.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here I am.
All right. But you should wipe off the microphone, though, because who knows who's touched that. Yeah. That's better.
Yeah.
It's scary. No, I'm with you, Kyle. It's scary. Every week it seems to change a little bit. First, it was like, you know, you can't get this thing unless you touch somebody who's obviously got it. And then we heard of a guy who caught it because he was washing the car of somebody who had it before. And then they killed a dog last week because they thought the dog might be able to convey it to a human without any questions. So obviously they're panicking about that. And now this week in Dallas, a nurse caught it from that unfortunate patient who died, becoming the first person ever to catch Ebola in the United States. Now, the guy who came here, he was the first person to bring Ebola into the United States, but she has the title of the first person ever to catch it here. So all these little milestones are being met every single week. And now, apparently, she was able to catch it, and they can't figure out what the breach of protocol was. They say it was definitely a breach of protocol because this is not possible. This should not have happened. But it did. It did. And how many times do we hear the experts say, this is how it works, this is how it will be, and if you follow these instructions, everything will work out according to plan. Well, it doesn't always work out according to plan. And I think what we're seeing here, honestly, I think we're seeing a bit of comeuppance for ignoring certain parts of the world, paying too much attention to some parts of the world, paying no attention to other parts of the world that aren't strategic enough for us, and allowing things to spiral so out of control that this kind of a thing can get started in the first place, and now it's coming over here, you know, to take a swipe at us. And we're still talking about, well, who's going to pay for it, you know? How are we going to compensate people and all that kind of thing? This is basically a serious threat because, I mentioned this the other day, actually. We can take precautions here, right? We can do as much as we can. But if other people don't do a good job, it doesn't really mean anything.
Now, when you say that, you mean globally, you mean regionally,
mm-hmm.
And you know, whether that be continentally or an actual nation or a group of nations, but also, as we have here, within states, like, for instance, Texas. If it isn't handled, what happens?
If they have an Ebola party in Texas, and they don't care, or they just are as irresponsible as they can possibly be, we're all screwed, not just them. It's basically, we are depending on them to get it right. So, you know, it's not like we can just stay away from people, you'll get it in different ways. You'll get it from contact with things that people touched. It's a nightmare.
To say nothing of the possibility of it mutating and becoming a different kind of pathogen than we understand it.
According to the latest press release from Ebola, mutation is something that is definitely on its agenda, and they are threatening us with that.
Did they just tweet that or something?
No, I saw it on the video. On one of their, do you know that Cablevision doesn't carry a single radical Islam channel? You saw me. I was going through every single channel of Cablevision.
And even if you subscribe to it, you look.
They have all these packages.
Different packages.
All these international packages.
Okay.
And they have Catholicism. They got Judaism. They got all kinds of religions. But radical Islam is not there at all. I called about that, and you know, it's like they don't take me seriously. But you know, if you listen to the pundits. This is such a driving force of Islam that everybody is part of it over there. So 1.5 billion people, is that how many Muslims there are? So if they're all radical Islamists, like we're led to believe, well, then they should get a channel on Cablevision, shouldn't they?
Oh, by radical, you mean not moderate and accepting of other faiths?
No.
Oh, okay.
Because apparently
I'm sorry.
That's not how it works over there.
I thought that was the radical Islam we were talking about.
What's amazing, by the way, speaking of going through all the channels on Cablevision, tune to channel 907 if you have Cablevision. It's really cool. You get to see what people are watching. Yeah, I didn't know they did this, but you see what's the most popular program right now. You see the top 25.
Oh, yeah, it's Right Now or Watch Now or something to give you like that real time. To make you feel like you're a Nielsen.
I don't know how they do it. They say it's done, I don't know, it's done randomly or something. But the way...
It's probably statistics from their own systems.
Yeah, but if someone just leaves their cable box on a channel, how do they know someone's hasn't turned the TV off and gone to bed? You know?
I think it's an inaccurate science. I mean, they're just ballparking it, I think. I don't think it's that accurate.
In the middle of the night, we saw that there was an infomercial from Comedy Central... in the top 10. And I think what happened was a lot of people were watching South Park and turned the TV off and didn't turn the cable box off. So it just assumed all these people were still watching.
Right.
But if that's going to work that way, everyone please turn to channel 103 and make Euronews the top rank. That would be nice. Or channel 165, Classic Art Showcase. That's really cool as well. But I found that channel. That was kind of interesting. Where was I going with that? Oh, radical Islam, yes. How could I forget? This is something that that everybody seems to be buying into right now. Everyone seems to have liberal or conservative, right-wing, left-wing, black, white, you name it. Everybody is in panic mode over what's going to happen with ISIS and all these angry Arabs and Islamists and Muslims and all these people that we don't understand. And, you know, I thought I'd just look into this just a little bit, just take a 5 minutes and look into some of the history.
Sure, why wouldn't you?
Well, you hear otherwise intelligent people saying things like it's inherent in Islam to be violent, to kill people. Of course, it's inherent in just about any religion and all nations to do that as well. There are a couple of things. We got a copy of the Quran, for one thing. That just happened.
Yeah.
We just happened to get a copy. It was
in
a store. They had them there, and why not? And I was glancing through it, and, you know, they have the same stories in the Quran. They have the story of Job. They have every single story that I can think of in the Bible. I haven't really studied the Bible all that much. But they're telling the same stories. I think Adam and Eve are in there as well. Can you imagine how divided we would be if we didn't even agree on that? If we didn't agree on the Garden of Eden or whatever else? All these nice little fables that have been passed along from century to century, the disagreements, the wars, the battle of words all come from different interpretations of that. It's really, not every tale, I'm sure, is recounted in the same way, but it is so similar that it surprised me. It really did. So you have the same cast of characters, basically all emanating from the same part of the world, just telling different variations of stories, and that's why we all hate each other now. So you basically have all these people that are saying these things, like Islam is a religion of hate, and... It's just simply not accurate. It's not any more accurate than saying that about any other religion. I looked up radical Islam. Keep in mind, the Islamic religion has been around for a long, long time. How recently has it been that we've been all caught up with this fundamentalism, this radicalism? If it was such a problem, it would have been a problem the whole time, wouldn't it? But it's only been a problem fairly recently. And I looked this up online. Not that that's not that Wikipedia is the ultimate source, but I thought this was kind of interesting. They say the modern Islamic fundamentalist movements had their origins in the late 19th century with the Wahhabi movement. That's an Arabian fundamentalist movement, began in the 18th century, gained traction, spread during the 19th and 20th centuries. But get this, they spread during the Cold War after World War II, when some NATO governments, especially those of the United States and the United Kingdom, launched covert and overt campaigns to encourage and strengthen fundamentalist groups in the Middle East and Southern Asia. Those groups were seen as a hedge against potential expansion by the atheistic Soviet Union. Yeah, and as a means to prevent the growth of nationalist movements that were not necessarily favorable towards the interest of Western nations. And by the 1970s, this is really recently, the 1970s, the Islamists had become important allies in supporting governments, such as Egypt, which were friendly to U.S. interests. By the late 1970s, though, that's when the tide started to turn, because some fundamentalist groups became militaristic, leading to threats and changes to existing regimes, and it was the overthrow of the Shah in Iran and the rise of the Ayatollah Khomeini that was one of the most significant signs of that shift. So when you think about it, the Shah was put into place by the United States. Mm-hmm. We basically alienated people all throughout that region, leading to the rise of this fundamentalist movement, and invading Iraq, starting wars there in both the 90s and in the 21st century, did nothing to better that relationship. All of what we are seeing now, pretty much all of what we're seeing right now, is a reaction. It's not an action, it's a reaction. It's a reaction to invasion, to massacres, to a perception that their religion is under attack, which is not far from the truth. And that's something to take into mind when you start making these blanket characterizations that this religion is based on hate. You know, I think any religion that was subjected to the kinds of forces that that we have been at the forefront of would be reacting in the same way. So it's just a very interesting perspective on all that.
A walk through history,
mm-hmm.
like logically. It's
I was just curious, how long has this been around for? Because people are saying how hateful a religion Islam is. So there must have been fundamentalist Muslims all throughout history, but there weren't. Of course, there were all kinds of fundamentalists in other religions in different periods. I think everyone is subject to that at some point. But we also saw something kind of interesting last night. We found the Blu-ray set of Cosmos, the new Cosmos.
Yes.
We learned a few things. We always learn something from that program.
A few things were reiterated.
Uh-huh.
I think stuff that I knew that's familiar, but to assemble it the way they put it together was interesting.
Well, Neil deGrasse Tyson is the Carl Sagan of the modern era, and he narrates the program and basically shares all kinds of interesting bits of information scientifically and historically. And one thing that he touched upon was how Islamic scholars were responsible for preserving much of Western history. And why is that? Because in the Western world, such things, such advances in science, saying things like the Earth was not the center of the world and it revolved around the sun, that was seen as a very, very bad thing. People were executed for this. That knowledge was buried, destroyed. Books were burned. Libraries were burned. And the Islamic scholars sought to preserve this throughout history.
And also really points out the fact that in the Renaissance, the diversity of opinions were accepted, and that's how innovation and knowledge was came to be.
Uh-huh.
Saw the light of day is through allowing of an expression of ideas. Funny that it's in the Renaissance periods in these places.
Yeah,
we all sort of relax a little. But go on, yeah.
Well, I was also looking on other websites just to find out more about this, and I'm ashamed at how little I've known about this. But of course, the educational system in this country does not focus on these things. Does not focus on the fact that Arab scholars played a much more significant role in say the evolution of Western medicine than they've ever been given credit for. This is something that's been going on for centuries, and that is a true history. You look at that. You don't look at the crap that's going on today with a bunch of ignorant people. You look at the overall history, and that is how you judge a religion, not based on morons and propaganda. So I just hope people do a little more research, and maybe we can reach some kind of understanding. But you know, as far as all the crises going on in the Middle East, and it really is getting bad. It's getting worse and worse every week, and the reaction to it is simply going to make it spiral out of control even more. We need to take a good look at our culpability and the way things are right now, and the Western world has to do that as well. Will we? Probably not. I don't think we have the stomach for that, but that's probably the real reason why things are the way they are. And that's all I'm going to say on that.
Well, it's worthwhile. A long view of the way things going is perhaps the wisest, I think. And being really inclusive of the entirety of the history, the entirety of how things go, I think is the best way to get an understanding of it and how we've gotten where we are. I know I found that in different hobbies and disciplines, and it certainly is worthwhile in society, especially when we're faced with these kinds of issues and problems in the world.
It's just, you know, whenever I hear anybody generalizing about anyone else, any race, any religion, any nation, I know that I'm not getting the full story, and I know that there's more that needs to be uncovered, and that a lot of these facts are just going to be disproven if you take the time to do it. But of course, it doesn't flow in the same way as all the fear and propaganda that we are fed. You know, we're supposed to react in a certain way to that, and you know, if we actually take the time to get educated about it, well, then we're not as easily manipulated, and that's bad.
Yeah, and it's that reaction from just an immediate news story or an immediate event, as though it has occurred in a vacuum, and you really have to understand all of the things going on to lead up to it and to get an understanding of why or where it fits in history and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
What else is going on?
I don't know. That's pretty much the extent of my looking into anything. I haven't really been paying attention to what's going on in the world. So I know Ebola's out of control. I know that ISIS is at the doorstep. Other than that, though, I'm going online right now to see what's happening so I can comment on what's actually, 125 people being monitored for Ebola symptoms in Dallas right now.
125?
Just being monitored. That doesn't really mean they have anything.
I'm putting this back on.
Put the mask back on. World Health Organization says their forecast for Ebola has worsened as the disease's footprint widens.
I'm here. I'm ready.
There's a new website called Living with Ebola that tells you how you can live a fairly fulfilled life with the Ebola virus.
That's not to be confused with Martha Stewart's special on living with Ebola.
Well, it's understandable; those would get mixed up.
Sponsored by her network.
You basically you can live a good life for about a week or so before it catches up to you. the news today just seems very diabolical, you know. And it makes you want to look for a escape in various ways. And that mask is ridiculous. And how come I don't have one?
I only had one. You didn't remind me to get one for you.
Well, you didn't remind me that you were bringing yours. So there's that. There's no good news. There's nothing here that I would want to talk about at all. So let's just talk about what we are doing. Fun things like that, or what we have done. Hey, we went to the Hamptons Film Festival.
HIF.
Yeah, that's what it's called. Hamptons International Film Festival. HIF.
HIF.
We didn't actually make it to East Hampton, though. Because that's where it is. There are all these Hamptons out here. There's more every year, it seems. There's Bridgehampton, there's East Hampton, there's Southampton, there's West Hampton, there's Hampton Bays. We don't have a Northampton. Well, there might be a Northampton, but it's basically, like, I think a homeowners association. But we went to see a film about Banksy.
Yes.
And that was kind of cool because we actually saw the Banksy art exhibit last
residency,
year. Residency. A year ago at this time, we were probably talking about it, mm-hmm. about how every day Banksy would do something in New York, whether it be a stone sculpture of the Sphinx or some graffiti in the South Bronx that caused controversy or some
video. Really mixed media, all kinds of different things.
The weirdest one was the anthill in Staten Island. I don't know what that was all about. but now there is a film. It's going to be released on HBO next month. And we happened to see it, and it was really well done. I mean, considering that, of course, Banksy is not revealed. You don't know who he is.
Ever.
Yeah, you never find out. It was a nice documentary that sort of pieced together all different perspectives, different sources of video, and the various stories that came out at the time. And it kind of it reestablishes that spirit that we all felt a year ago. So what's the name of it? Do you remember?
Banksy Does New York.
Banksy Does New York. Why couldn't I remember that? So, yeah, we saw that. And did you like it as much as I did?
Let's see. I enjoyed it in that it really covered a lot of the reaction and told it through the eyes of some really interesting New Yorkers. It was interesting how much they were able to articulate about it with just found material, and arranging the found material is kind of inspiring, I think, to both of us as a use to, instead of just think of social media and stuff out there as like just a separate medium, but rather basically media text for creating a collage or a film. You know, you can pull from social media, whether it's posts or a forum or online videos that people submit, and actually assemble that. And I thought that was really sort of the beauty of what they did, especially because there's really no information about the production team, no information about the artist himself, and they're really just explaining what everyone who witnessed it was doing in the witnessing of it, and really pulled some highlights, some of the really funny stuff that we might have missed when we were experiencing it with everybody else.
Wow. Yeah. And we spent some time after that wandering around in Southampton, which is where it showed. Actually, Southampton plays into the story, too, because there's an art dealer there who specializes in Banksy pieces and selling them, authenticating them, things like that. So, we just kind of drove around and saw some really big houses and strange-looking streets and things like that.
Yeah, and we went to some cool beaches that we hadn't seen on that part of the island, mm-hmm. and exploring the communities, as you said. There's, you know, places where people have their own port, it almost seems.
Yes.
They can just launch their spaceship or do whatever, and they don't have to go anywhere near the local communities that ordinarily you'd have to drive through. And it was really funny, actually, at the venue, because it seemed a lot of the locals would go to the theater and try to watch a movie, but they had no clue that this film festival was going on, which really revealed them to be the less than enlightened set.
They were trying to see Gone Girl, and we were waiting on. We had what's called the rush line because we didn't have tickets.
It's like standby for a flight, but this is for a film festival.
Yeah, we found out the film was playing as we were driving to it. We didn't know what was playing. We just knew something was. And so that meant that since it was sold out, we had to depend on people not showing up, which they did. They didn't show up, so we got in. But these other people got online with us, assuming that we were waiting for the same thing, and we totally weren't. They could have just walked in.
They were so angry with the whole process, not realizing that it was a film festival, and it's pretty sad that you'd have an international film festival, and the filmgoers themselves aren't really enlightened enough to participate.
Well, you know, in all fairness, though, the film festival is in all different places, and you have to drive a half hour between them to get them. I mean, East Hampton is not right next to Southampton, and I think they have stuff in Sag Harbor as well, maybe even Montauk. So a fair amount of traveling, and I would imagine some people would get confused and a little bewildered by...
Well, it's hard to put on a festival. I mean, you have multiple venues, of course. We see that in the area with, I think, the Stony Brook Film Festival, having everything centralized is a sort of an anomaly in that culture. We've been to some other local film festivals that have placed the showings around town, and you have to kind of hunt for it a little bit if you're not familiar.
Uh-huh. Yes. I'm learning now that Billy Joel has sold his house out in that area for $19 million.
That was the case, though. Well, good for Billy Joel, and his daughter Angelina is now a dame.
That's not his daughter.
Isn't that?
Angelina Jolie, not... Billy Joel and Angelina Jolie are not related.
I thought that was... Wait, who's her father?
See, I should know this, too.
Who's Billy Joel's...
Don't ask me about celebrities. I don't pay attention to celebrities.
I don't know. Isn't she? She has a famous singer father, right?
Well, I don't know if he's a singer or he's actor. An actor. And I should know this. And all these people are probably saying, "Emmanuel, you moron! Why don't you know this?" Well, you know what? Okay, the capital of Angola is Luanda. I know that instead. That's the fact that I chose to replace who Angelina Jolie's dad is. She needs to know that. She needs to know who her dad is. I don't.
Do you know the capital of Kyrgyzstan?
No, because it wasn't a country when I memorized all the capitals. So
it's Bishkek.
Is it?
Yeah.
Don't think I won't look that up.
Bishkek. Yeah, look it up.
All right. As soon as I can figure out how to spell it. Where were we on this? Because we're going all over the place. Rich houses, big houses, heliports.
And Billy Joel's not there anymore.
Uh-huh. And Billy Joel is leaving. So there you go. $19 million. That's a steal.
Woo!
Yeah. Well, what else?
Yeah, so moving on. I heard that there was going to be an update on some of the sport we've been following.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, as long as people are asking, and really nobody's asking, because for God's sake, Kyle, how do I speak over this music? It's so loud. This is the FA Cup anthem, or it was for the FA Cup final last year, or actually May of this year. Nobody cares in this country about the FA Cup, which takes place in England. It starts in August and ends in May. But we're into the third round now, which is actually the fifth round because they don't give numbers to the first two rounds.
Mm-hmm.
And a team that we have latched onto is called Barwell.
Yes, Barwell.
And they had a game this Saturday against Curzon Ashton, who they lost to the week before in a league game. But guess what? They won on Saturday.
Kurgan Ashton won.
Yes, so they move ahead to the fourth round. And the fourth round is interesting because what that means is 40 winners from the third round move on to the fourth round, but 24 more teams enter the stage from level 5 of the football system. And level 5, it's called the Conference Premier League. The conference is one group of levels, and then the league above that is levels 1 through 4. So that's when the real professional teams start getting involved. That'll be another round down the line.
So some people around the world will start caring at that point.
At some point. People probably won't even start caring until January. But what this means is that Barwell will now be playing a team called Altrincham. Barwell is 7th level. Really, really hard to... They must have chosen an instrumental version.
This
for
is
the
horror.
It's
really just, it jumps all over the place.
It does.
And we're listening, though.
This won a competition. I like to hear the other songs. Barwell will be playing Altrincham. Barwell is a 7th level. Altrincham is a 5th level. So it's getting harder.
Okay.
It's getting harder. And Altrincham has an interesting history because they are what's known as giant killers.
Okay.
An FA Cup giant killer is basically a team that beats somebody well above them and moves ahead. And that's theoretically what you can do with the FA Cup. And they have done that more times. They've never won. They've never won the actual final. But they've beaten teams they're not supposed to beat quite a lot. And now they're playing a team that's 2 levels below them. So Barwell's got their work cut out for them. The fourth qualifying round that'll be held on the 25th of October. So there's time to get your tickets for that. And speaking of attendance, this last round, the third round, actually now we're seeing the attendance starting to go up. We had attendance as low as 31 people at one game, but now it's two matches had over 2,000 people. Everything else was in the hundreds, but it's starting to get some attention.
Woo! Wow. Well, that's really good. It's good to hear.
And that's the latest as far as that goes. You know, we haven't taken phone calls in a while, and I think we should.
All right, let me pull the phone over here.
Put the phone over there.
There's the phone.
While you're preparing that, I'll recite the phone number so people know what number to call.
Sure you will.
We are at 631-632-6901. That is our telephone number, and you can call us, and you can speak about anything that's going on in the world, or anything we've talked about, or something that's happening in your life. We can just make something up. That works, too. We're pretty much open to anything here at Off the Wall.
We are open to anything here at Off the Wall.
This is Dylan.
See, I didn't know that was going to happen. I didn't know you were going to delay that quickly.
And I think we're in delay. I have to move over.
But again, you played the ID.
I auditioned. Whoa.
You played the ID at the wrong time, so there was 7 seconds of silence, which is where the ID is supposed to go. That's okay.
You know what? This place is a dump.
It is. It is a dump. And we mean that in all due respect. But it's like a trap that's meant to catch you so that you can't do things easily.
I heard an interview today, and it was awful.
I'm tied up in a wire right now. Hang on. Oh, yeah. Well, the interview wasn't awful. The interview was good. It sounded awful because of all the feedback.
Right, and the engineer, couldn't pick up on it. And
you could pick any room in this university, and it would be better suited for interviews than this one right here.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we're
really didn't mean
accepting
to do that.
Your phone calls to Off the Wall tonight. Please feel free to dial 631-632-6901, and we'll answer your phone call live on the air. Please feel free to call in, talk to us about anything. We're enjoying October here. Are there any announcements? I'm trying to think. I know there's the Oktoberfest fundraiser coming up, October 25th and 26th. That's important station news I'd like to inform everyone about. And we're pretty much wide open. Please call us. We'd love to talk with you. Anything we've covered in the past, anything we've talked about tonight that could use further explanation or some insight you want to share with us, we'd love to put you on the air. So please call 631-632-6901.
A couple of things. We're not asking for money. We will be in weeks ahead. Also, Kyle, you're going back to Seattle.
I am. I'm actually going to be traveling back to Seattle for the first time in quite a while. I've been out in this part of the country for some time now. And, well, I think it's good to move around a bit, and I have quite a bit of housekeeping to catch up with.
Yeah, you got to water some plants, and there's all kinds of things you got to maintain. But my point in bringing that up is that this is, if you're listening, this is your last chance in a while to speak to Kyle in the studio. So this caller has taken advantage of that.
Hello, you're on WSB Off the Wall.
Hey.
How's it going?
You're going back to Seattle?
Yes, I am going to be taking a trip to the West Coast pretty soon.
I suggest that you attempt to try the recreational marijuana in that state.
Oh, I didn't know about this.
Wow, that's funny. That's actually something I'm interested to see. I've looked online. I think there's only one dispensary in Seattle called Uncle Ike's, and their prices are ridiculously expensive. But that's like the first indication of that market. And there's a lot of places around the state that are selling recreationally, but it seems that the ones that have been licensed have been basically one per major city. So it's still unfolding. It's not quite like Colorado, where they really just open up the floodgate, and they already had a really incredible dispensary market, something like 140 in some areas of Boulder.
Yeah, Denver, so. I understand it.
Yeah,
it kind of feels good, though, to be able to partake and not worry about looking over your shoulder.
Yeah, it's a kind of refreshing feeling, and I think that sentiment is the issues we're dealing with in the world are really a lot to compare with, and I think people are getting a little bit more intelligent about that particular issue and cannabis in general. And I think a lot of other people who maybe were a little afraid of that industry and that product that I don't know what you call it, product, if it's something you're purchasing or something you're growing, they're coming up with like a more approachable to a lot more people now that states have kind of stepped up. So people are talking about ghee and how to make ganja butter and how can I cook and how, you know, all these different methods of making really interesting food and treats and things like that. I think it's normalizing it in a way that I think a lot of people have been fighting for decades and decades and decades. So there's still a lot of ways to go politically, and I really hope to see it in other states, and definitely New York, and the Northeast is probably next. I feel like there's a lot of really positive attitudes, like people like you calling in and telling us to check it out. So I will certainly see what's out there, and I'll report back. Maybe I'll even record some audio.
Let me tell you, though, the smoking isn't necessarily good for you, but taking it, eating it, consuming it orally, it's definitely a preventative medicine. So you should look into that.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right. I import my own hemp oil for cooking. I think it's a really fantastic oil to use for salads and really just any kind of cooking. You lose the omega-3s when you heat hemp oil, so you're going to want to keep it cold, and it's kind of earthy and nutty, but I love to use hemp in cooking. Now, that's something that's not psychoactive. Of course, ghee, ganja butter, is psychoactive, and that can really it can help you out with some pain and all of those kinds of ailments. Definitely relaxes you. It's certainly a head change, and it can last. You actually have to be really careful consuming cannabis products because the potency is really widely varying. Yeah, you have to familiarize yourself because you can get in some trouble. But smoking certainly is, I think, falling out of favor. Younger people are more into vaporizing and smoking in general. People are aware that it's a pretty harsh way when there's so many other ways to consume cannabis and get the good parts of it into your system.
All right, buddy. Well, have a great time in Seattle. I got to go. Have a great one.
Thanks for your call, and we'll hear from you another time. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from, actually, I'm in Patchogue now, but I'm originally from Bohemia.
All right. Well, thank you very, very much, and we'll enjoy and drive carefully out there.
Have a great one. Bye.
All right. So long.
Interesting. You know, I saw a poll on Newsday, which, you know, take that for what it's worth, asking people, are you in favor of legalization of marijuana in New York?
Okay.
And 95% said yes. And that's different. That's different. I mean,
New York State or New York City?
New York State.
That's cool.
I don't know what kind of people read that or comment, but I know it's changed. I know it's the majority now that are in favor of it because they realize what a ridiculous thing it is to make something like that illegal in the first place. So I think, and what you mentioned that there's a retailer out there now that charges a huge amount. In Washington, it's actually a lot more expensive than the black market.
Yeah, I think they want like $120 for a quarter. You can look it up, Uncle Ike's. But
supposed to give prices on the air.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Even a pot, I don't think.
Yeah, right. Okay, I'm sorry. Well, anyway, they're prices, I would say, that taxing that they're doing is appreciable. I would say, right, if you're going to look at the numbers, it's like a 20% or 30% tax right there in front of you as a consumer. So
we're in the unique situation here in New York where you could buy pot on the black market for less than people in Washington State are paying for it legally.
Yeah, and I would say you may even get quality that's on par with what you would find in Washington, because a lot of it's imported to New York from the West Coast.
So we could be selling back to you guys from here. That's going to be kind of unique.
Yeah.
By we, of course, and you guys. Those are hypothetical individuals.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, this is something that I think is on the minds of a lot of people. If anyone has thoughts about legalization of marijuana, this is something that's this gay marriage. These are things that are changing in our lifetimes in the last few years. And it's just interesting to see. Did you see last week where all the gay marriage bans just toppled throughout the country? Alaska, Idaho, all the states in the Deep South, the Supreme Court, all kinds of appeals courts just ruling against people who are trying to stop this one after another. It's over, folks. That's done. That battle is no longer a battle. And there are other things like that.
Would you say they fell like a stacked tandem switch?
Sure, why not? That's a phone company reference. Yeah, those of you who are, I guess, younger than 30 wouldn't get that.
No.
Or who weren't paying attention.
I might have not served it up in the right way. Hey, we have another call. You're on Off the Wall. Hello.
Hello, Kyle.
Hello, yeah, hey, how's it going?
Kyle, it's Sean, how are you?
Oh, hey, Sean, hey, good to hear from you.
Is this the same Sean from Belfast?
Yes, yes. I'm just wondering when you're going to bring me some cannabis to Belfast.
Oh, boy. Oh,
that shouldn't be too hard. Let's see. How will we do that? We get an airplane. We bring some pot with us.
Yeah.
And we just go through customs in the UK. It's
yeah.
It should be a breeze. No problem.
No, UK customs, they're great. They always are cheery and have lots of nice...
You just got to make a joke or two, like, you know, about you know... drugs or bombs or dogs or whatever, you know, something they're not sensitive about.
That reminds me, one time I transferred, I had a really crazy flight. I transferred through Paris, but I had to go via the UK to get to the other airport in Paris. And I remember the British customs asking me about ecstasy and all this stuff. You realize that ecstasy is an illegal drug. And it was such a weird question. I was like, yes, no, sure, yeah. But what does this have to do with me trying to continue on my trip? I'm just connecting to go back to Paris. It was
really
funny.
You realize that murder is a crime.
Right.
What's the point of bringing that up?
It was just like, I'm going to bring up ecstasy to see if this young person is trafficking in club drugs.
Hey, Sean, how you been?
I'm good now. I'm on life's been a bit of a roller coaster over the last few months, you know, but I'm good now.
Well, fantastic. I really hope that you're faring well. Health and everything is keeping you active out there. We really enjoyed ourselves visiting, and we reminisce. We've been talking about it quite a bit, actually, in the last
We were months. Just talking about it yesterday, in fact, about how awesome it was staying at your place in Belfast, and what an amazing city that is. More people should visit Belfast and just take it in, and hopefully have somebody like you to show it to them.
Well, you know the crack. You're more than welcome to come back anytime.
How about next Tuesday? Oh, I'm serious.
Listen, I won't keep you. I just wanted to tie in and say hello.
Oh, fantastic. Please write a note, and thanks a lot for listening, Sean, and we'll catch up with you with more adventures, and definitely we'll come by at least to visit or maybe meet you somewhere on our travels.
Hey, Sean, did you happen to hear the show that where we played all the Belfast material?
Yes, I did. It is very good, very good. Cool. I passed it on to a few friends, and I think I sent you a few notes back, as far as I remember. But no, well done, well done.
Fantastic. Well, we're still working on our own production, and we'll have some more tidbits, maybe some clips and things of some of the stuff that we were able to photograph out with you. We really did have a great time, and it's people like you that listen and let us know you're out there and show us around a bit that allow us to capture kinds of, you know, audio and stuff that we like to do and share with
us. Please say hi to all the friends and family that we met out there, because it was just such an awesome experience.
I will. Listen,
all right.
I'll be in touch, okay? But
wonderful.
Keep doing the good work, and I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, and I'll see what I can do about getting the cannabis up there.
All right. Okay.
Discuss that through the internet. That's what it's for.
See ya. Okay, that was sweet.
It was awesome.
That's so
and, you
cool.
know, Sean is one of these people that, you know, we just happened to meet up with. And it's happened. We were talking about this last night. We were in a bar until late at night talking about all the awesome people we have run into and met who have shown us their part of the world. Sarajevo, Zagreb.
I mean, even the Sarajevo thing, I was just reminiscing. Do you remember the person we visited that, and they had, we're in downtown Sarajevo, yes, and there's a car park, private car park, with an elevator for the car. You know, you would bring the car up or down on an elevator. We don't even have that in a lot of cities. I haven't seen that in a lot of places, and here we are in Sarajevo. It's the first time I see someone use it. It was so bizarre, but just those little details, yeah, come back to you from traveling as you try to jog those memories.
Well, they didn't come back to me, and I've tried to remember, yeah, that. Because something that you were talking about, I was like, I don't remember a car coming up in an elevator, but I don't doubt that's what happened. But yeah, you know, you latch on to little things. One of the things I latched on to when we were in Sarajevo, just to pick one example, is being on top of that hill, the same hill where so many snipers were mowing down people in the streets of Sarajevo, and just hearing all the dogs barking all throughout the entire city, talking to each other, yeah, as the sun was setting. It was one of those magical moments. And there were so many magical moments in that one city.
Yeah.
It was just such an incredible experience that I did not expect to have. And we've had experiences like that in so many other places. Copenhagen.
Ljubljana, Slovenia.
Oh, God. It was just, you know, obviously we're going to leave out some, but people are so good to us when we travel. And we just want to thank them for writing in and for offering to show us around, and in some cases even putting us up. I mean, Sean really went out of his way to make things amazing for us.
Yeah, and he's a hardworking guy out there. So,
and they have such interesting stories too. The people that we meet,
yeah,
they've lived life obviously in these places,
and they're keenly aware of us. They know the program and some of the things we've talked about, but they really know what's going on in their neighborhood, and that's something we just appreciate, no matter who or what it is. It's just so.
Think
cool
about the magic of that, though. I mean, we're here in a station that drives us crazy because it's so hard to get things to work, but we get it to work eventually.
Yes.
And they're listening to us over the internet, and we're basically tying all these people together and communicating in this way, and eventually meeting up and sharing cultures and things like that. That is the magic that is produced here at WUSB, not just on this show, but on many shows. And it's an honor to be a part of that. It really is.
Yeah. Very cool. Very, very cool. Thanks. Thanks again for that call.
And if you're out there, if you're one of the people that has met up with us over the years, we have not forgotten you. We have not forgotten. We want to thank you. Sometimes we don't get a chance to really say it.
And if you feel it's been too long and you would like to get in touch with us, please send an email, otw@2600.com.
You know, you were part of this. A couple of weeks ago, I heard from some people that I took a boat ride with.
Mm-hmm.
When I did my round the world thing back in 2005, the first leg of that was on the QM2, the Queen Mary 2, which,
yes,
was at the time the biggest ocean liner in the world. Part of that week-long voyage, you tend to talk to a lot of people, but the most interesting people was this Scottish couple that I just ran into. They were just so down to earth and fun to talk to, hard to understand because, wow, that accent can just, it's so hard.
Yeah, I had a little trouble with the husband of the two, yeah.
Yes, because
a little thicker, yeah.
They contacted me and after all this time said, hey, we're on a boat again. We're going to be in New York. And Kyle and I met up with them a couple of weeks ago. It was just awesome to reconnect like that.
And it was funny. It was like old times. I'd never met them before, but it was like you hadn't, you know, like you just, just gotten back in touch on the boat or something. It was really cool to meet some friends that you'd, acquaintances you'd kind of, gotten together with on your journey, and then to circle around and at least make a contact with their present journey. It was just really cool.
That's the magic of traveling as well. You just run into people that, you know, you can maintain contact with, and, you know, credit to them for actually maintaining that connection. And I was just so happy to reestablish that. So
we had lots of questions because of the election and everything.
Yeah,
it
was really funny because the husband was against independence, the wife was for, so they basically canceled each other out.
Which I think I've heard my folks say before during elections and stuff.
And totally good-natured about it as well, kind of a microcosm of what Scotland actually is.
Really is, yeah. So
and,
genuine.
You know, we have to go to Scotland because that's an awesome place. I think you'd like it a lot.
Yes, yeah. I have not been as an adult, no.
Only been there once.
Yes.
Okay, you know, we're pretty much out of time. otw@2600.com is our email address. I wanted to mention one other thing because we're going out on a song that has a weird instrument in it.
Oh, I know what this
no,
is.
No, you don't know what it is. You think you know what it is, but you don't.
Oh, man. This is the other one. You're
yeah,
trying to test
me. Yeah, this is the other one. It's a band that has an instrument known as an electric jug. You know what a jug is. It's a canister.
Yeah.
And you play it by, I think, blowing into it or something, and it makes this weird kind of trippy sound.
I think a jug is twice the size of a growler, because a growler is a half gallon, and a jug would be a full gallon. You start jugs in the gallon range. You got a 2-gallon jug, 3-gallon jug. There could be small jugs, though. Okay, never mind. Forget what I said. I don't know anything.
Kyle will be giving a seminar on containers this coming Saturday.
Yes, Tupperware next week.
Now, this is the... we're not going to play it immediately, because I wanted to allude to something else before we did. But the 13th Floor Elevators is this band that I became turned on to through the Beach Boys, of all groups.
Right.
And they're just a psychedelic band from the 60s. And that their thing was an electric jug that they played. It's awesome stuff. But you brought up yesterday, out of nowhere...
This is what I thought you were talking about.
Yeah, well, I would like to do this as well. Your fascination with the harpsichord and
yes.
chamber music and things like that. And I have the same fascination, because there's something about chamber music which is just magical. And
it's
so
beautiful.
We basically were surprised that nobody we know has a harpsichord. Everyone has piano. Well, not everyone, but a lot of people have pianos.
It's apparently a finicky instrument. It mm-hmm. It's quirky, right? It's a tough one to maintain, I think, and it's a complex instrument, but it has totally been eclipsed by the piano.
You go to the Yellow Pages under harpsichord repair, and you will be disappointed, I'm told. But we don't care. We want to get our hands on a harpsichord. Unfortunately, a lot of them were built in the 1700s, which for some reason drives the price up. Anyone out there who has a harpsichord that they want to unload on us...
it doesn't have to be dual keyboard.
We'll bring the 2600 van over and stash it in there and then figure out how to play it, because neither one of us has a clue. OTW@2600.com.
But that's going to be for another show, I think. We'll feature that instrument. But until that time, let's go out with some electric jug. What do you say?
I think that's a good idea. Have a good trip.
All right. And, of course, that's in program, and we're still in delay. So
oh, my God.
We should really fix that. I'll put that on pause again.
Okay, hold on a second. Let's just restart all that?
Yes, switch your
headphones,
please.
Or you'll be totally confused.
Yeah, will be totally confused.
Were we talking over each other just now? I think
were we?
I'm sorry. I talked over myself.
That's okay.
So this is how it's supposed to sound, right?
This is how it's supposed to sound, I think. I can't hear anything.
See, this is not how it's supposed to... This is why we're so frustrated. It's not supposed to be this way.
As I said, this place is a dump.
Hey, kids, Finn's Revolution with you right now on WUSB Stony Brook until the 9 p.m. hour. We're going to be rebroadcasting a very, very recent interview with Mr. Mike Watt as he is playing this week in New York City. Then we're going to give away some tickets to see Mr. Watt this Thursday at the Mercury Lounge. And then after that, we're going to hear singer-songwriter Vanessa Cuccia. I hope I'm pronouncing her last name right. I'm sure she'll correct me when we get back.
Small step for you, might be a big step for Nano, a big step for Nano. Step right up, step, step up, step, step right up. Step closer, you get bigger, bigger, closer. A waltz for the Nanos. Step right up, closer, step up. Step right up. A big step for Nano, big step for Nano. Step right up, step, step up, step, step right up.
Hey, kids. That, of course, was Mr. Mike Watt and Il Sogno del Mariano, and which translates to The Sailor's Dream. And Mr. Watt is, with that particular combination, is playing this Wednesday at the Bell House in Brooklyn tomorrow night, and is also playing the Mercury Lounge this Thursday, and he'll be playing at 6:30 p.m., so it's an early show, and that means that by 7 he'll absolutely be on. And if you can make that show, I have a pair of tickets where you can join me and Mr. Watt. But we're going to give those tickets away right after we do a rebroadcast of this great, great interview. So what you can do right now is, if you're interested in going to the Mercury Lounge and seeing Mike Watt with Il Sogno del Mariano, you can write down this phone number, right? 631-632-6901. And I'll be announcing the ticket giveaway at the very end of the interview. And it's going to be an absolutely amazing evening. This is the first time that this particular outfit is on the road in the U.S., and it's going to be a magical, magical evening. If you've read any of the reviews of Mr. Watt and Il Sogno del Maranaio across the U.S., you will be guaranteed to be floored by this particular show. And very few venues are as great as the Mercury Lounge sonically and in terms of personally. It's just a great, great place to see anyone. So we're going to hear from Mr. Watt right now. An interview we recorded at the end of, we did live at the end of August. And I'm replaying this, which is a very, very rare occasion for me, because this particular band is playing now. So I'm going to be discussing some other giveaways and stuff during the interview that you're going to hear. But those are not the giveaways. The giveaways are a pair of tickets to this week's show on Thursday at the Mercury Lounge to see Mr. Mike Watt of the Minutemen, of Firehose, of the Stooges this week. And Thursday, 6:30 p.m. So just make sure you change your schedules, whatever you got to do. You got about 25 minutes to work out those schedules before I'm going to ask you to call me. So 6:30 Thursday, you can get yourself a pair of tickets in about a half an hour to see Mr. Watt, 6:30 this Thursday in New York City. So if you work in New York, that's nice and easy. You just head there. If you work out here, take a half a day sick. That's I'll sign it for you. So anyway, here's our interview with Mr. Watt that we did not long ago, and it's really, really poignant and really beautiful. And we also receive a FedEx package during the interview. So here's Mr. Watt. All right, we're lucky enough right now to be speaking with Mr. Mike Watt himself on the air. Mike, thanks for joining us on Finn's Revolution on WUSB Stony Brook.
Thanks for having me aboard.
It's great to talk to you, as always. Welcome back.
And yeah, you tell me, fourth time, much respect.
Yeah, and you're going to be going out on the road yet again with a second album by a project you've been working on. Would you like to tell us a little about that, only so I don't mispronounce it?
It means a sailor's dream. It's with two guys from Italy. They're 21 years younger than me.